Hello, hello, hello. Welcome along to Benchcast. I'm Neville O'Donoghue, and this is a podcast for benchwarmers.
Stay still, if you don't mind, please. I know you're nervous, but I'm too.
Listen to me now, listen to me!
Which phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
Aguero! We're going to do it.
Tyson Fury!
It's Torres! Oh!
Absolutely not. That's a load of rubbish, by Sean, to be quite honest.
He's a disgrace to Liverpool Football Club.
Burnley. Whoa. What a belt he's given it. That is amazing.
I love me county, you know.
We love John Milan.
On this podcast, I have Irish women's rugby player Linda Gigan. I talked to Linda about the Six Nations just gone. I talked about Linda about preparing for the World Cup and qualifying for the World Cup next year. I talked to Linda about women in sport, and I also talked to Linda about her roots in Cameroon. So with that, hope you enjoy the pod. Okay, Linda Gigan, I definitely didn't pronounce that right, so, but how are you, and maybe you can pronounce the name for me.
It's Gigan. I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a million for coming on the podcast. I suppose the first question I'd like to ask you, Linda, like, obviously, you probably watched the Leinster match yesterday. I don't know, you were maybe at it in Croke Park. What did you make of it?
I think it was incredible. I think the fact that even the rugby's gone to, like, in Croke Park. For me, I've never been to Croke Park, so it was that one occasion. I thought it was amazing. I thought that the atmosphere was just incredible, and Croke Park is massive. It's like the whole Dublin. I grew up watching people going to Croke Park and always wanting to go there, but I never got the chance. So I was so lucky to get tickets because it was sold out. So it was incredible. A bit nervous at this end.
Yeah.
But it was just insane. I think they have to delayed it for 10 minutes because people couldn't get in fast. So they opened the big gate and everyone, like, it was incredible, but it's just huge. For me, I was completely lost.
Is it your hope that maybe one day that the Irish women's team might get to play in Croke Park?
Yeah, I think that it's part of the culture. I think it's amazing culture that we're able to play in different stadiums, we're able to combine as one.
Yeah.
I know the and the history with the G and rugby, and we last played it in 14 years. I think that is amazing that rugby has got that far that they can feel that a stadium like that. Yeah. And it's only a hope and a wish that that relationship continues on. Yeah. And men and women, that we one day we're able to play. I say it's probably, as a woman, we'll probably just take that step forward to Aviva first. Yeah. And I know that it's there and it's a step forward. Yeah. But that would be a hope and a wish for so many young girls, yeah.
I suppose then I'll go right back to the start. I'm sure anyone listening to this, they can hear it in your voice that you got an accent, so I believe you come from Cameroon originally. And tell us how you came to Ireland, and just tell us your story of moving to Ireland.
I moved to Ireland at the age of 9. I stay here with my dad. My mom was back home, back in Cameroon, staying in Cameroon. So flew in by myself to meet my dad here. He had a family here. And really, I think that's really where the journey kind of started for me. A different journey, because obviously Ireland is completely different from Cameroon, like weather, food, really everything. How I just went to school, I didn't speak English. So I think I learned to speak English, like, not that I think, I learned to speak English in primary school and went on to secondary school and then college.
Yeah.
But in college, I was studying, I did general nursing in Trinity, and where I took rugby at the age of 19. Yeah. And pretty much was learning. It was starting from the basic again. Yeah. And it's like I was starting from learning English again. It was learning rugby.
Yeah.
This time. Yeah. And then the rest is.
I must say, whoever did your Wikipedia page, it's very good, you know, because it has all the information in there. Because I see that you came to Ireland when you were 9 and you started playing rugby, as you said, at 18, 19. It actually has all that in the Wikipedia page. But the reason, the other question I want to ask you is that, like, I see you got into rugby via tag rugby. Is that right?
Yeah. I never read that Wikipedia. So I don't know.
You're probably better off because it could. There could be both negative and positive comments, but in fairness, it's all positive to Wikipedia.
Yeah. So I started. So I did the Trinity Access Program, and through the Trinity Access Program, they had the Grant Thornton was their sponsor, and so we had the chance to get like the opportunity to get mentored by Grant Thornton, and. At the end of the access program, 4 students out of 25 get chosen to, we have interviews, and then from the, everyone doing the interview, from the interview, 4 students get chosen to do an internship in Grant Thornton for the summer. Yeah. So enough to get chosen to do that internship there. Through the internship, I just found it really hard to kind of fit in into the uniform, because I didn't grow up with people wearing uniform like formal, and I didn't really know how to interact, and I always felt very, it felt very intimidating for me. So I was just sticking to myself. I was constantly nervous at work. Didn't know how to really interact with others, because I just didn't fit in. It wasn't my world. Yeah. Social tax rugby came onto my lap, to my computer at work, and my manager, Vivian Gray, was sitting beside me, and I asked her, like, what is this? Do you think that I should do that to help me just interact with my colleagues? And she's like, yeah, it's a great idea. I think you should definitely do it. So I signed up for it, for a social tag rugby, not knowing what rugby was. And that got cancelled, and because people decided they want to do something else. Yeah. But I didn't have to remove my name from it. So I just left it there. And I remember going to the shop when I started to buy like shoes, like football boots. I didn't know what boots. So that's the only gear that I had. And then they were playing the final of the elite tag rugby, and then they needed an extra girl. And they saw that I didn't take my name off from the social tag rugby. And they asked me if, who's Linda? I said, it's me. Do you want to play today? I was like, yeah. They're like, okay, we're going to Merriam Road to play the final. So I was like, yeah, I've never been to that other side of, I didn't even know it existed, that other, they're like Dublin 4. So it was a totally different world. So we went over to Merriam Road and we played the tag, and I ended up Googling what tag rugby was and trying to understand it in that short hours I had of work left. And they were like, do you have a tag shorts? No. Do you have a tag? Do you know rugby? No. Didn't know anything. Jump in the taxi with them. And we went to Wanderers, which became our first rugby club in Merriam. And then it was my first time seeing a rugby ball. I was mostly following the ref around because I was always offside. I didn't know what to do. So he was so kind. He was like, just stick with me. So I was just staying with the ref, just enjoying being there. And then my teammate, Ashling, was like, when you get the ball, you just run as fast and then put it down. Yeah. So I did that. I got past the ball and I ran as fast as I could. Like, I'm scared of dogs. So I ran like the dog was chasing me. And then I put the ball down, but like I dropped it. I didn't round the ball. So that was it. quick lessons to ground the ball, to score. But that was really, I mean, I got scouted by Michelle, who was Wanderers manager at the time. She was just there looking after the pitch or just scouting. And yeah, so yeah. She asked me if I wanted to play physical rugby. Yeah. So I was told, so is there a team? She's like, yeah, there's physical rugby. So yeah, ended up playing that.
No, it's been a great journey, like, you know, and it's amazing 10 years later. And here you are playing with Ireland. But, like, I suppose we'll just talk about the Six Nations then, just gone, is because I was onto you on Instagram, and I remember saying that I watched most of your matches, but I watched the one against the French, and that was a tough match, you know, your opening match against the French. And I was very impressed how you went from loose head to tight head. And, like, being honest, like, you had a good battle in the scrum, but you stayed in it, like, you know, like, what... I suppose looking back now on the Six Nations, what did you make of it? Because I know you came third, that made sure that you qualified now for the World Cup next year. But, like, in summary, because I know you had a tough match against England, tough match against France, looking back at the Six Nations as a team and personally for you, were you happy with it?
Yeah, I think that the Six Nations is so, sometimes it's so unpredictable. I think when you go into anything, like, especially such a big tournament that you know would take a lot out of you, and you have to be open-minded. I think each game, you kind of have to learn quickly. You have to be able to turn the page very quickly and really be open-minded and open-minded to take, to improve, open-minded to take critics, open-minded to learn quickly. And I think that that's something that as a team, we did quite well. Yeah. I think our opening game against France, we always knew it was going to be tough. Playing in France has always been. So we wanted to start right. We wanted to start as strong. And we definitely went in with had a goal in mind. We have an objective that we wanted to achieve. Yeah. And obviously it was to perform. We really wanted to just go out and perform and learn and really play what we learned for the last few weeks. Yeah. And show that we can score. We can score try that. Play is crazy, the atmosphere. I don't know if anyone playing in France for me is France is a little bit like home because I play there in Clermont and that atmosphere is just something is special. Yeah. So it was so important personally for me to be able to, I know the scrum, the love of the scrum. And I knew that was going to be one of their set pieces that they usually go from to and play. So I knew for me that it would be a battle.
Yeah.
You don't scrum as an individual. I think it was like 16 feet on the floor and just trying to really battle it out.
Yeah.
So for the first second to the last second, it was that with fans. You can't switch off or they take that. The minute you switch off, they take that opportunity. And we faced the same thing with England. Those two top team, first and second, that first and third, that in the world that you can't switch off against them, like they're just so powerful, and that's where we want to one day be. And so I think it's a quick learning for us that, especially against England, that we need, and heading into our last game against Scotland, we needed to really turn that page very quickly, learn from it, and make sure that there's no if against Scotland, that we don't go back to the changing room saying, if we did this, you know, that we need to learn very quickly and respect England, that they were able to not feel the same way, the following week.
Yeah.
And I think we did that very well against Scotland. We didn't start great, but we were able to stick in and really work on our set pieces, everything that we didn't do right against England. We were trying to fix it. Everything we didn't do right against France, against Wales, against Italy. We were trying to fix it. And for a last game, that's your last opportunity to show. And I think that I give credit to the girls that really stuck to it. We definitely learned very quickly. And we got the result that we were chasing after. And like compared to like Wales that last year was just incredible. And they still are. And I say that, that's why I say that Six Nations is so unpredictable. You just never know what's going to happen. Yeah. But it doesn't reflect on how, I think it's just how the tournament is. I think it's, if you take it too much, you feel some sort of way. But like, I just feel like Six Nations, you can't tell everything from Six Nations. It's just Wales came third last year and they were fifth this year. So you just never know.
No, like looking back in your Six Nations, I suppose it was like, you came third, you achieved, I think you'd all be happy that you got that qualification for the World Cup next year. But like from outside looking in, is that there's still that gap between your England, France and yourselves. So like, how would you like to, well, I suppose this is a tough question, but like for you, but like, how do you plan on closing that gap? Can the RFU do more to help you, or is it within your own team? Or like, how can we close that gap that one day we see Ireland beating England, or we only lose to them by a point, that we're more competitive, like, you know?
Yeah, I think that is, the gap is definitely closing. I think that it's just going to take some time. We just had, this is our first year with the centralized contract. And I think we, France and England, had that system for a while. And also, they're bigger country than us. They have the reason, but also they have the, they had that foundation there for a long time. And the system is completely different. The grassroots system is so different. And I think that's now is where we're really trying to get that going for us. We have the under 20 on Six Nations. We have the Celtic Challenge. We have the AIL, but also like we're taking players from AIL to Celtic Challenge. So our we're learning on how to kind of grow our grassroots rugby, and growing our grassroots rugby will help us internationally. So I think we're not there as England and France, and that's why there's always going to be that gap, because other teams like Scotland and Wales, we're trying to grow that grassroots rugby, and it's going to take us time, because it definitely took France and England years to be able to achieve where they are now. So I think it's learning for us that, you know, it's nothing is going to happen overnight for us. Like we couldn't qualify for the World Cup for the last how many years. So the fact that qualifying now is, we're going the right route.
Yeah.
You know, so working, but we still need a lot more work, and we're not there yet. But we definitely are heading the right direction.
No, I agree with you. Like, if I was to compare it, like, you see how good the Irish men's team are doing at the moment. But I'm old enough. I remember 20, 25 years ago, the men's team used to be getting hammered by England and France. And then when the whole Munster and Leinster thing took off, then the men's team got better. So I do think the women's is going in the right direction. I still think a lot more can be done. But the other question I'd like to ask you, Linda, is you mentioned Clement there and the centralised contracts, because I know you were working in a hospital there at one stage. Like, forgive me now, I'm probably ignorant of this, but are you professional now? Because I know you took a year out and you did 6 months at Clement.
I'm professional now for the last year or so. Okay. And it's been good, but I played a season in 2021 after the World Cup qualifier in Italy. I signed off with the support of the RFU to play in Clement. And it was really for a hope that we will qualify for that World Cup in Italy. And then I have a bit more game time in France before heading to the World Cup, but unfortunately it didn't happen as planned. But honestly, it was the best rugby, best experience for me playing in France, especially in Clermont. It's such a, it's like the home of rugby in France. It's, I learned so much. I love the experience there. It's like my second home, to be honest. Like, it's just, I just, what I've learned there, I don't think that I've ever been taught, especially coming in as a young prop, flanker going to prop. it's definitely hard, but like I said, like the amount of time we spend in France in set pieces, especially scrum, I never experienced it here, that's for sure. It's just a different, they just have a different mentality when it comes to set pieces, when it comes to their rugby. And I remember my first day training with them, and something that I realized is that we're very structured. And then sometimes you don't realize how structured you are until you step into an environment that isn't. Very quickly, how you're so, you're just so structured, like you just, so I remember taking the ball and then I made a break and I literally just went down and placed the ball on the floor because I was like, oh, that's what you do, like, you know, like what? But they were like, no. Put the ball and look for someone to offload. So it was just that offloading, jouer, like you don't stop the ball, you have to jouer. And I learned that quickly, that's actually how I like to play. Such a fast game, but it's not, it's so not structured that we do the line out. They didn't put that much emphasis on line out call. It was like, get the ball, let's play. So quick game. And I really enjoyed that. It was just, we're constantly, the nine is constantly bossing everybody around instead of the 10. The 10 is just that distributor. But the nine is the one that is just playing magic, making everything happen. So it was definitely different culture and different standard of rugby, but it was an amazing experience for me.
Yeah, no, I understand completely what you're saying about the French there. I know that, they say jouer, they love to keep the ball alive, and I know that a lot of their rugby goes through the nine rather than the 10, you know, so, but it's, but the other question I'd like to ask you, Linda, is that, because, like, I look at women's rugby, right? And I think that, like, there is a market there for it. You know, I think it could be a lot bigger. But, like, I look at, I think tennis is the, I think they do the men's and the women's perfect, right? If you watch Wimbledon or if you watch any of the Grand Slams, so, like, they're intertwined. So you have the men's on, the women's finals on the Saturday, the men's finals on the Sunday, you know? Like, I know now they've moved the women's Six Nations to later in the season to try and give you more spotlight. But I always thought, like, that, you know, like, say when Ireland played England at Twickenham there back in March in the men's, I always thought it'd be great if the women's was on as a precursor. Like, do you think they should probably try and do it that way? Or are you happy with the way the season is done now? Like, because I'd like the game to get more spotlight, like, you know?
Yeah, I think definitely, like, the way that the season has moved on from the men, definitely like to have that spotlight. But I think that even the woman playing in Twickenham was incredible. Like, the atmosphere was just insane. Like, you didn't need a man game to have that atmosphere. The nerdy sold out the Twickenham. It was just immense. And I think that even in our performance, when we looked at it was like just having, we were in shock of the atmosphere that impacted our game. Because also from, we have a lot of young girls and they never played in front of those that many crowd. So it's definitely, I feel like England, France, and if they have that you know, they're able to bring those atmosphere. And to be honest, it's also hard they're playing, you know, they're attracting those atmosphere to their performance. It's definitely a point where other team like ourselves could definitely take notes on, like, on performance. I think that the more you perform, people are going to be behind you. The door, the more you win, doors are going to open for you. I think you can really create those doors of opportunity with nothing. You know, those doors of opportunity come with hard work, and people will just be behind you once they see that you're doing something great, that you're working hard, and you're earning this stripe. So I think England, France, really team like tennis and everything, they have earned their stripe, they have earned the right to have those. I think for us as a team, we definitely are learning, we definitely are performing, like, for coming third. I think that we're definitely on the right road, and we just need to stick to it, stick to performing, stick to learning quick, and stick to just really bringing those little supporters, like, on. And also, it's a massive on social media. I think that our social media need to be more active, need to be just interactive. And, like, for example, England women's direct rule has stepped away from the men Instagram, and they have their own, having that,
I like that identity.
I think that it's just having their own identity. And personally, I don't think we're there yet. We see it with the sevens men and women have different, the sevens stepped away from the men's too. They have their own sevens Instagram. And I think that's just a really stepping stone that they're setting out, and hopefully we get there. I think that you don't want to step up because you don't want to just do things just because other people have done things. I think everybody has their own time. I think time is the most important to do it. I think we need to grow as a team and as individual too, in order to understand, in order to make this decision. And as once the team grow, once the team we're comfortable that we can stand on our own, that it'd be the right. But it's so important that we're able to take our time and focus more on our performance than focus on that.
Yeah, that's very well said, and I think that's a great point you made. That I always saw that when the Irish Rugby Instagram account, when they were putting up year results, I was always saying to myself, wouldn't it be great if they created another account for the women's, you know, like the English ladies have done. Like, I think it's a great idea. But the other question I'd like to ask you, Linda, is God, it's gone from my head now. You're still a very young prop, and I suppose just final few questions. You're still a very young prop, and I suppose you got the World Cup next year. But what more do you hope to get out of the game? I suppose you want to play in the world. What more would you like to achieve in the game of rugby?
I think that, to be honest, I achieved so much. Like, coming here at the age of nine, I never really dreamt that I would get into this journey, and this journey would take me to where I am standing right now. So for me, that's already a massive achievement for myself. That it definitely hasn't been easy. My journey definitely has been challenging, but so is everybody else. You know, I think it takes a lot of hard work, dedication, to be able to achieve really anything that is worth something. For me, I definitely have achieved so much. I don't really think too much about I want to do this, I want to do that, because I'm already in such a grateful position. I honestly don't know what the future holds for me. I kind of try to stay open-minded and see and listen to my body, listen to what's best for me, especially at this time, what I want to do next. I don't really put, like, I want to be able to play at the work, because I don't know, I'm not in control of that. You know, the only thing that I'm in control of is just to perform my best, at my best ability, to put my selection. And other than that, I'm not really in control of selection or anything, but for me, I just really, I haven't decided on anything. I'm trying to just really stay open-minded and really look after myself, look what I want to do best, and just play rugby. Or if I don't play rugby, and this other stuff, this other journey, other path in life for me.
It's one or two more questions, but I'd like to ask you this one, because do you, or a few, have been accused before in the past maybe that they don't do enough for the women's game? But if I was to ask you, if the RFU could do one thing better or one or two things better for the women's team, what more would you like? What more? How more could they help you? Or are they doing enough?
Oh, yeah. I think that people don't really see the work that the, like, the senior staff in the RFU are doing, because it's really closed door. But they're doing so much. Kevin Hart is always there. And you have, like, the Greg, the president. Greg is always, like, they're always there for the trouble they see to watch our game. And I think that people from, like, so, like, TV, you don't really see those back. Like, we have David Humphrey constantly at every game with us, like, with even David and Sephora. So their constant, that support is just incredible. You know that they're right behind you, to the good and the bad too, you know. So it's important that you know that they're there. They're definitely, I think, from just having that support and them and us coming together and working as one, you can definitely see the difference, even the how we're performing. And obviously, the difference is really the result, because you can't say you see the difference without result. We're getting the result that we need. And to be honest, that speaks louder than everything. It's just having, in order for you to show that you need to perform. I think for me, everything just comes to performance, because that's really where we are in control of. And I think that sometimes, in order to even to get all the support and everything, like, I can't come back from what I said previously, you have to earn. You have to show that. Have to earn your strap. For me, that is so important. It's also how I was raised up. So it's that mentality that nothing come for free. Nothing come. You have to really work your heart out in order. You have to earn stuff in order to ask for stuff. You have to show that you're working hard. You have to show that there's a value in investing in you. So it's so important that we have that mentality first, that we can't just ask get perform. We need to perform, and then things will come by itself.
And Linda, I suppose the final few questions again is that I suppose, like, funnily enough, I was in Dubai there for the last 2 years, and I actually played rugby out there, and I played with a lot of lads from Africa, Kenya, Cameroon, and different places. And I'm just wondering, do you go back to Cameroon often? And, like, what's the rugby scene over there? Because I can only speak from a few Africans that I played with in Dubai, that there's some very good athletes and some very good players that come from Cameroon and Kenya.
Yeah, I think that I don't really, like, I went home after 19 years last year. So I wouldn't say I'm a friend going back to Cameroon. But it's definitely something that I like to do more often, and probably, hopefully, in the future, kind of empower young black girls, black boys to take on rugby. Because personally, I feel like there's so much talent in Africa. The only thing that differentiates our talent to other is the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know,
resources and all that. One, yeah.
Opportunity. I think that really opportunity, resources, opportunity is everything. I think I was given that opportunity, and I show what I'm capable of. But like I say, that there's a young girl back home that is so much better than me. You know, the only thing that she doesn't have is that opportunity, is that person to give her, to see her. I think that's really what is differentiate one from the other. But there is massive talent back home, and it kills me every single day that it just stays there, you know. It's not really seen, it's not really given an eye in. But I hope that one day there'll be like South Africa, Kenya are growing into the rugby, and hopefully there'll be in the future, there'll be a competition back in Africa to really give those kids and opportunities to shine, because there's definitely talents there.
No, there definitely is. You see it in football, but as I said, I played out in Dubai for 2 years with one or two guys that were from Cameroon and Kenya, and they were absolute freaks of athletes. But the other question I'd like to ask you is, who's the best player you played with or against?
Oh, God, in Ireland or
just in general? Go on.
In general, the best player that I play with would be, that's a tough one.
You don't want to offend anyone, is it?
No, I don't want to offend us, but yeah, I mean, you also want to give credit where credit is deserved. Yeah.
We'll call out two or three even then, though, but I think that's taking the coward's way out, you know? Just give me a
one. Yeah, good question. And it's also a tough one, too, because I feel like sometimes the best player are not really credited for what they do. I definitely think that for me personally, I really like playing with Laura Feely. I really like playing with Maz Riley when I was starting off, because they really, I just saw in them that it was that passion. Also, and I know that playing against Laura Feely, she never really got the recognition that she deserved, because she was never really starting. She was always a replacement for Lindsay. But boy, that girl worked her ass off that we never really got the chance to really see. But also, it was, for me, best player is not always what you bring on the pitch. It's the person that you are off the pitch. I think for me, that's really stands to me. I always think that, I always was taught by CT that you have to be a good person before you're a rugby player. And I always look in that first in people before I see anything else.
Who's the best player you played against?
Oh gosh, the best player I played against have to be one of the England or France girls. I definitely have played, I'd probably say Sansus.
Yeah.
The 9 for France.
Yeah.
She is, I think her wife now is playing Bordon, and Sansus retired. But she's just, they're both the same players. They're literally twins. Yeah. But you can't close your eyes in front. They just keep you on your toes all the time, and you could witness it in the Six Nations. She last year she won Player of the Year. Like she has a Antoine Bouton in front. They're literally identical, short but so snipey. Okay. You don't know their next move. I think that as a prop, you don't want to be going against.
Yeah.
Against them, but yeah.
And you mentioned CT there, Connor Toomey, who's a mutual friend or acquaintance of ours. And we don't want to give no too much smoke up his ass. But how did you come in contact with Connor, and was he helping your progression in rugby?
Yes, definitely. I think that the player that I am today is because of him. I had to give him that recognition. I think for me, I met him through rugby. It was the year of COVID when we were going to play against England, against France. And he got asked to come in and just do some scrum coaching with us before heading off. And we ended up not going because it was lockdown.
Yeah.
And he came in and he was just chatting, telling, we were doing some scrummaging. After it, we went to lockdown, and I ended up because I was still working in the hospital, I ended up getting COVID. So I was quite sick. And he, before even that, after the session with us, he messaged me. He told me that if I needed, he knows that I'm working in hospital, and if I needed to take my mind off work and want to talk about Scrum, I just give him a, just reach out and we can do that. So when I got sick, I was isolating, a very difficult time. I hold on to that message. So I gave him a call and we just started talking about Scrum. And since then, really, he's played a massive role in my life. He played a massive part in my rugby. I say every today, he's a big person in my life. Yeah. And every game, every training session, we review together. Yeah. We talk about it. We talk, how do I get better? What can I do better? Where do I want to go? What do I need to do? Well, so he's definitely that mentor, father figure that I have. So I'm really grateful to have him.
Oh, yeah. As I said, we won't. No, he'll be loving that, but we won't blow too much smoke up his ass. No. He's done a great.
I have a few questions for you.
Oh, well, I asked the questions in there, so no, but he's done well now, to be fair. And I think John Ryan, the players of Munster, can thank him too. But anyway, look, we'll move on. So, but the final question I'd like to ask is that if there's any young girl looking to get into rugby, aspiring to be a future Linda prop for Ireland, any advice you'd give a girl getting into rugby or sports?
I definitely say you hard work will get you to places.
Yeah.
In order for that, you have to be a good person.
Yeah.
I go back to that message again. In order to achieve anything, you need to be good inside. You need to do well. You need to be an act of service. And work hard. Nothing come easy, but also enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy what you're doing. And you know, when you stop enjoying it, it's probably time to, it's not for you. But don't give up. Not because you had a bad day. Today or yesterday means it's not for you. Anything that is worth something, anything that is worth anything really, comes with hard work and
dedication.
Dedication, but also consistency.
Yeah.
I think anything really, in order, any goals that you want to achieve, you have to be able to be consistent in and work hard. So consistency for me is everything. And I still use it today. In my prop, like in the Scrum, it's always consistency. It had everything had to be the same in order to really achieve anything there. But enjoy it and be yourself. And I think that's a massive thing that sometimes we don't really look into, because we sometimes are put in a world where we have to be something different in order, for me personally, to fit in. You constantly want to be able to fit in, want to be accepted, but it's having the realizing that you're special your own way. You don't have to bend. You don't have to fit in to someone's mold.
Yeah.
To feel like you're important. So people that cherish you will accept you the way you are, and you wouldn't have to change. And I think that that's something that I learned late, and I'm still learning that I don't, and it's strange because when you start to be yourself, when you're somebody else, you start to really know who have your back and who doesn't, and who liked you the way when you were not yourself. And so it's, for me, it's definitely as a person individually that is learning to just be myself, and people will take or leave, and that's okay.
No, that's great advice, Linda. So we'll finish with this, because I do this with all my guests, is quick fire questions. Okay, so hope you're ready. Favorite food?
Favorite food, it has to be plantain, food from Cameroon or Eho. Yeah.
Leg day or chest day?
Sorry?
Leg day or chest day?
Leg day.
Who would play you in a movie?
Serena Williams.
Yeah. Favorite thing to do on your day off?
Chill. Don't do anything.
Go to breakfast food.
Oh, breakfast food. I like a good porridge. Or is it game day or not game day?
Not game day, so yeah. So.
Oh, not game day. Pancakes, cherry, bacon, honey.
What's your biggest fear?
Biggest fear is probably losing someone close to me.
Why, the best book you've ever read?
The Outsider.
Favorite holiday?
Back home. Yeah, back in Cameroon.
And finally, tea or coffee?
Tea. Yeah.
Linda, thanks a million for that. And I think your advice there to up and coming young sports people looking to get into sports was very good, and I can see why you've been such a success, and all the best in the World Cup. I look forward to next year, and we'll be watching the Six Nations, and well done on the Six Nations that just went. You know, as I said, I thought I was very impressed with you against France. You stayed in the fight in that one, in a tough game. They moved you from loose head to tight head, so thanks a million for taking the time out and doing the pod.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Nathan.
And thanks for listening, and thanks again to Linda Jungang for coming on the podcast. So I probably definitely didn't pronounce that right once again, but a really fascinating listen there, and you know, such a great story, you know. And as I said, there was I played with a few people from Africa out in Dubai when I was out there, and there are some very good athletes, you know. But no, it's great to see, and I've heard stories over there from one of my former coaches, CT. So best of luck to her in the future, and I'll definitely be watching her games, and I look forward to watching her in the World Cup next year. So until next time, I'll be back again with some other guests that I line up next time. And remember, you can get this on Spotify and wherever else you get your podcast. Until then, thanks for listening. I'm Neville O'Donoghue, and I'm out of here.